Hello and welcome to the current message series of our pastor, Dr. David Hamilton from West Heights Baptist Church, Pontotoc, Mississippi, where our mission is to love God and to serve people. Now, let's listen into this week's message.
Amen. You'll take your Bibles and turn to Galatians. Ryan, I was thinking our baptistry is scriptural. Jesus said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, not lukewarm. The only thing we'd like for it to be lukewarm from time to time would be the baptistry, but it's either cold or hot. But anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. Galatians chapter 6. I want to read verses 11 through 14. Our main focus today is going to be on verse 14. We're going to think today on the subject, the marvel of the cross. Starting last Sunday, we began a series called The Way of the Cross, leading up to Easter, which is just a few weeks away now. So we know that before there could be an Easter Sunday, there had to be a Good Friday. Before there could be an empty grave, there had to be an old rugged cross. Before Jesus could come back to life, he had to die. And so we're leading up to that great event, the greatest event on the Christian calendar, the day we celebrate that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. In Galatians chapter 6, again, I just remind you that Paul was captivated by the cross. He said, see what with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, thank you for the cross. Lord, may we never forget that we serve a risen Savior, but Lord, before you could rise, you had to die. Before you could live, you had to die on that old cross for me. You took on yourself, Lord Jesus, my sin. You took my death, my hell, that I could take your life and take your heaven. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that's not a Christian, that today they'd open their hearts to Christ. Lord, we know that there's not one perfect individual in this room. But we do know there's a perfect Savior named Jesus. Lord, lead us, be glorified through us. In Christ's name, amen. One of the greatest evangelists of all time was a man by the name of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was led to faith in Christ by a Sunday school teacher. He was a shoe salesman, Moody was. And a Sunday school teacher would come in and share Christ with D.L. Moody. And one day he gave his heart to Christ. He had very little education. As it has been said, his grammar was atrocious, but his zeal was boundless and his enthusiasm infectious. His conversion to Christ, like that of the great apostle Paul, was wholly without reservation, no rival, no refusals, no retreat. And that was the quality of his commitment to Christ. In 1874, William Gladstone, who was the Prime Minister of Britain at that time, and Matthew Arnold, who was said to be the greatest intellectual in Victorian England, on one occasion, these two together went to hear Moody preach. Gladstone said, I thank God I have lived to see the day when he should bless his church on earth with the gift of a man able to preach the gospel of Christ as we have heard today. Matthew Arnold responded, and I would give everything I have if only I could believe it. John Phillips said, when the World's Fair came to Chicago, so did D.L. Moody. Before long, Moody had such great crowds and the fair had to close on Sundays. They had the program, but Moody had the people. He chatted to thousands as though he were chatting to a half dozen. People from every walk of life came to hear D.L. Moody preach, and many of them would go away trusting Christ as their Savior. So what was the secret of his extraordinary life? It wasn't his education, because he had very little. It wasn't his eloquence of speech, because those who listened to him said he couldn't speak well. Matter of fact, there was a lady came to hear him preach one time, and she said, "Mr. Moody, your speech has offended me." She said, "Several times throughout your message, you said the word britches rather than trousers." And Moody said, "Then what else did I say?" She said, "I don't remember." He said, "Well, it's a good thing I said britches, or you wouldn't have got anything out of the sermon." Moody's commitment was based on this phrase. He said, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." He said, "I should rather say this one thing I do than these 40 things I dabble with." The main thing to Moody was the cross. This was like Paul, who said, "God forbid that I should glory or that I should boast in anything other than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified unto me and I unto the world." Charles Spurgeon said Galatians 6:14 was the theme of Paul's ministry. Now, there are three or four things we need to understand as we think about the cross. One is, the cross is the ground of my assurance that I've been made new in Christ and accepted by God. Another thing is, the cross is the place where the wrath of God was poured out on another that it might not be poured out on me. Jesus took on himself the wrath of God that was due to you and I. And then the cross is the place where, united to Christ, I died to this world and all its claims on my life. The cross is also the place where all self-glorying was put to death, that I might glory and delight only in Jesus. And then the cross of Christ is the message that I proclaim, the ministry I perform, the miracle that made me a new person. We have to focus on the cross. You see, the cross, the ground is absolutely level at the foot of the cross. There's no room for pride at the cross. Because when we look at the cross and we look at the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us, it slays our pride. Listen to this verse from the Message paraphrase. "For my part, I am going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, I have been crucified in relation to the world, set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into the little patterns that they dictate." So as we look at our text, specifically verse 14, it is strange words. Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory in anything other than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Why would anybody look at that instrument of death and say, "In that I find glory. That's what I boast in"? It would be like you and I going to Parchment and walking up to the gas chamber and say, "In that gas chamber I boast." But it was not that. It was not so much the piece of wood that Jesus died on as it was him. So as we come to our text, it's a strange word. Boasting in the cross of all things. No Roman citizen would say, "I boast in the cross." No Jewish citizen would say, "I boast in the cross." But Paul did. He could have boasted in a lot of things. Paul could have easily been a braggart. He could have easily sat around and bragged. And you know, you've been around people like that. That it's not long when you're talking to them that they want to get the subject around to them. And if you don't know it, they'll let you know it. One man said that he was trying to win the humility honor in his church, and he had a thing that said 10 things to make you humble, and he said, "By the time I got to number 7, I was humble." You see, Paul could have boasted in his intellect. Paul was a brilliant individual. I mean, read the New Testament. Read the writings of Paul, the letters that Paul wrote, that he dictated, some he dictated, those he wrote. But Paul was a very intellectual man. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I studied under the tutelage of Gamaliel, who was the leading rabbi of that day. Paul had gone through rabbinical school. He had been educated in all the best. He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He could have boasted in his intellect. And we know there are people in our world today that like to sit around and think about how smart they are. But they not only like to think about how smart they are, they like to tell you how smart they are. I had a man tell me one time, we were talking, and he said, I speak five languages. I said, well, that's good. I wouldn't want to be that smart. Paul could have boasted in his intellect. He could have boasted in his family heritage. He could have looked at his life and said, I came from an upstanding Jewish family. Paul could have boasted in the fact that he was both a Jew and a Roman citizen. He could have boasted in his religious background. I mean, you read his story, especially in Philippians 3. He talks about his background in the world of religion. You could not have been any more religious than Paul was before he was saved. He could have boasted in his missionary service. I mean, Paul could have talked about how many churches he planted, how many people he had led to faith in Christ. He could have boasted in that. But Paul said, I don't boast in any of that. I only boast in the cross of Christ. Philippians 3, Paul said these words in Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and his power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul said, everything in my life before I met Christ, it is just rubbish. And he said, anything in my life apart from the excellency of Christ is just rubbish. So let's look at his life. Notice the person of the cross. In verse 14, Paul very plainly says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross. Who? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just any cross. I mean, there were many crosses in the Roman world. It was a common form of executing criminals. And Paul said, it's not in those crosses I boast, but it's in the cross of Christ. It was not the cross that captivated Paul. It was Jesus. It was Jesus that made the cross glorious. We sing that song, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And then I will cling to the old rugged cross. It's not that cross that we glory in. It's in the person that was on that cross. Was past tense, no longer. Warren Wiersbe wrote, too many preachers of the word so magnify themselves and their gifts that they fail to reveal the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul gloried in the cross of Christ, and he made it the center of his message. It is the cross that is central to the life of the believer. He does not glory in men, in religion, or in his own achievements. He glories in the cross. For Paul, the cross meant liberty from self, the flesh, and the world. In the death and resurrection of Christ, the power of God is released to give believers deliverance and victory. And Wiersbe goes on to say, it is no longer we who live, it is Christ who lives in us and through us. And as we yield to him, we have victory over the world and the flesh. And the world does not care, listen to this, the world does not care if we are religious, just so long as the cross is left out. In fact, the world approves of religion apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the legalist inflates his ego, flatters the flesh, and pleases the world. The true Christian crucifies all three. The world doesn't care about your religion. The world doesn't care how much you talk religious talk. But you mention the cross, you mention Jesus, and it's a whole different story, isn't it? Jesus was absolutely sinless. Paul could boast in the cross of Jesus because he was completely sinless. Not Paul, but Jesus was without sin. Listen to what Peter said. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, he said, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have turned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And then the writer of Hebrews tells us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was totally sinless, but he became sin, the Bible says, for us. He took on himself your sins, my sins, the sins of the entire world. And when Jesus Christ bore our sins at Calvary, the cross took on a whole new significance. There, the Savior, through the blood of his cross, made it possible for us to escape the judgment and be reconciled with God. Paul says it this way in Colossians 1:20, and by him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. But not only was Jesus without sin, Jesus was totally submissive. In Matthew 26, Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said again a second time, he went away and he prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. He submitted himself to the death of the cross for you and for me. But notice the power of the cross. To the world, the cross was the ultimate sign of weakness and shame. But for Paul, it meant power. You see, Paul was basically saying, the death of Jesus is my only reason to boast. He said there are a lot of things that people boast about. One author said, we brag about our investments, our houses, our cars, and our football teams. People still boast about how religious they are, but there's only one thing we should truly boast about, and that is the cross of Jesus. Only the cross of Jesus has the power to put to death the influence of the world in our lives. David Dykes, who's retired now for many years, was pastor of Green Acres Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas, wrote. He said when Paul wrote that the world had been crucified to him, he wasn't talking about the world of people or the planet Earth. In the New Testament, the world describes the general attitude, actions, and culture of people who reject God. He said, we battle sin on three fronts, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is the tempter. The world is the temptation. And my sinful nature, the flesh, is the tempted. The devil uses the sins of the world to attract my sinful nature. The cross repels the power of the world. The cross. In 1941, in the Nazi death camp in Auschwitz, several prisoners had escaped. And in order to make an example, the Nazi soldiers randomly chose 10 prisoners to be herded into a cell where they would literally be starved to death. A Polish Jew by the name of Franciszek Gasowniak was called. And he cried out in anguish when they called his name. What will happen? I have my wife and children. What will happen to them? And the guards ignored his pleas until another prisoner by the name of Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and said, I'll take his place. Kolbe was a Catholic priest who had been arrested for hiding Jews from the Nazis. The soldiers grabbed Kolbe and placed him in the cell where he died. A few years ago, NBC News interviewed then 82-year-old Franciszek, and he cried as he told the story of the man who died in his place. The camera followed him outside of his tiny house to a carefully tended garden with a marble monument that said, in memory of Maximilian Kolbe, he died in my place. That's exactly what Jesus did. And there ought to be a monument on your heart, in my heart, that says, He, Jesus, died in my place. But notice the purpose of the cross. Look down two verses. Verses 15 and 16 says, "For the in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." The purpose of the cross, there are two things. Number one, to bring a new creation. This new creation is the church, the body of Christ. The old creation was headed by Adam, and it ended in death and failure. The new creation is headed by Jesus, and it produces life and freedom and peace. The Bible says that when we come to Christ, behold, all things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you come to Christ, you are a new creature. When Jeffrey gave his heart to Jesus a few weeks ago, he became a new person. Everything had been forgiven. He was clean. And you are too if you've given your life to Christ. But it's also to create a new nation. The new nation is made up of God's redeemed people, those who by faith have trusted in Christ and Him alone. So why should we glory in the cross? Because of the person of the cross. Because of the power of the cross and the purpose of the cross. And the power of the cross reconciles humanity with our Heavenly Father. In Jesus, we find forgiveness of sin. He was raised from the dead to give us new life. And in the risen Lord, we are a new creation. Would you bow with me for a moment? The cross was for you. When Jesus died, He took on Himself your sins, my sins, our sins. The Bible says the sins of the entire world was cast upon Him. He became the ultimate sacrifice. What no sacrifice could do, Jesus did. If you've never trusted Christ, today would be the day. Today would be the day to just admit, say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that. And Jesus, I believe You died on a cross for me. And right now, as best as I know how, I ask You to come into my heart, cleanse me of my sin, forgive me and save me." The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, You know every heart. You know every life in this place today. Father, I pray for that one that's not a Christian. Lord, they've put it off time and time again. Maybe they've wondered and worried about what someone else would think or say. But God, they're doing business with You today. And as Your Holy Spirit is drawing them to Yourself, God, I pray they'll give their life to You. They'll become a new person. Everything in their past is forgiven, made new. Lord, there may be others who are guests, and You're leading them to be a part of our church family. We would so welcome them to come. Lord, we ask for Your will to be done, and we'll give You thanks. In Christ's name, amen.
We're glad you joined us today. If you'd like further information about how to become a Christian, how to live the Christian life, or more information about West Heights Baptist Church, visit our website at westheightsbaptist.org.